We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? Solid rock that we can stand on. He'll never fail us. What joy. You'll never misstep on Jesus Christ, if I can put it that way. It won't slip, it won't slide. Solid rock. What a wonderful joy that is. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 this morning. Had the joy last Sunday of preaching Father's Day. It's Father's Day in the Philippines the same time as us. I got up that morning and was just talking to Ruth for a moment. I had a message all planned, and I said, "Is it Father's Day here?" And she says, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, I think I'm going to change my message," okay? Which I did. It's not this message that I spoke, but I did go. I pulled out. It was like, "Praise the Lord for technology." I grabbed my iPad, pulled up my old sermon notes, pulled it all out. It was right there, ready to go. Father's Day message. And the Lord seemed to bless and help. I was honored as a father. There was like seven or eight fathers in the church service, small little church that as Ruth and Amy go to. I got two pairs of socks. All right, nylon socks. I can't tell you what the one color is. It's like brown, black, gray. Anyways, and the other one is blue. So anyways, they'll work. All right. What a wonderful, but it was a special treat. I felt like I was honored beyond what I deserved. And that was something that the young people, now they call young people in the church over there, basically what we'd call college and career. The young people in the church had put together for all of their fathers. And they wanted to include me in that. That was a special treat. Made up some cute little bags to put them all in. What a blessing to see God's work going on around the world. We are just a part of God's great work. And I think we're going to spend the first, about gazillion years with our jaws wide open in heaven at what God has done through us, but then around the world. It's just absolutely, absolutely amazing. As we come to Psalm 1, a psalm that I think most of you are familiar with here this morning, a precious psalm, written on purpose, probably put on purpose, I should say, at the very beginning of the book of Psalms. Remember, Psalms is a hymn book. Don't forget that this was the Jewish hymn book. They sang it in the Old Testament. I think one of the things of heaven that I'll rejoice in is to hear the Jews sing their psalms. I think it'll be unique and a blessing. God on purpose didn't put in all the musical notation for us, but He did put the words on purpose so that we can grab these truths. Now, why do we've just sung hymns this morning. What is it special about hymns? There is something that we can't put our direct finger on in explanation, but God has designed us, everyone, whether you can sing or not. Music connects to our soul. And in the time of deepest sorrow, sometimes I have a hard time reading the scriptures because my mind is so muddled. It's a song that God will give me that's given me scripture with a tune that uses that truth to drive it home or bring the comfort and so forth. No wonder the book of Psalms has 150, there's 176 verses in Psalm 119, there we go, 150 psalms in it. That's a pretty small hymn book. Maybe we should start memorizing the whole book of Psalms, right? Sing it together. What a wonderful joy. But we do have our hymn book. There's a reason, folks, why we continue at our church to have hymns and hymn books in our pew. I want you to know those songs well. I am eternally, and I'm using that word on purpose, I'm eternally grateful for a mom and dad who taught me hymns when I was growing up. Hymns that sustained me, strengthen me from God's word, but then in the midst of, I've told you the story, being in the barn and the farmer's got his rock music on and I don't want it in my ears and my mind, singing a hymn in my heart and mind and sometimes out loud, really loud, to overcome that music that was going on, and it helped. Times of deep sorrow when a hymn would come back to my mind and bring comfort to my soul. And so we come to Psalm 1, and this is on purpose, folks, that it's the first psalm. God didn't want us to miss some of these truths. And then, in the midst of this psalm, this song, God puts a unique picture. Now, God gave us His Word on purpose in written form, so it's very definitive, easily understood, can be examined, and applied in our life. But often a picture helps paint the beauty of the words. Can I put it that way? Again, just like a song is there often to remind me of truth and to bring truth to my mind when I need it. So a picture does that much the same way, an illustration. So I don't want to read the psalm right away through. You know it already. I want us to go to verse 3. This is the center of the psalm. This is the apex of the story. It's something on purpose shared with us. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, the picture continues. There's one picture. Here's another picture, verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. God is giving us a picture here in Psalm 1 of what we might call the desired life, or the life that's right with Him. And it's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of a tree planted by the rivers of water. Probably the Hebrew word there is usually used for a canal, an irrigation canal, which obviously in the land of Israel, some of those areas are very arid, are very dry. And so they had irrigation ditches coming from the mountains, from other streams, to irrigate their crops. We understood it in Colorado on the eastern slopes there where Dad grew up. If you didn't get the rain in the mountains, the snow in the mountains in the winter, you weren't going to have crops that summer because all the water you needed for irrigation came down from the mountains. And you had these ditches that went along. Well, any tree, in fact, if you were driving along in the eastern slopes of Colorado, you knew where the irrigation ditches were. Why? Because that's where the trees were growing. Now, this is an irrigation ditch that never runs out of water is the idea and picture here. This tree planted by this rivers of water, the water is always available. No season, as far as a dry or wet season, will affect it. It will always have abundant supply of water to grow. Now, this is the picture of the life of a believer with his God. Now, we're going to look at in just a couple minutes, Lord willing, how is it that I end up being like this fruitful tree? But I think all of us would say, I would love my life to be fruitful, to be prosperous, to be, in light of the picture of a tree, to be green. To have full of life, not dried up and withered. All right? What a beautiful picture. How can I do that? Well, to answer the question real briefly, choose the blessed path, which is verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Something to avoid. We'll talk about that in a minute. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. How do I end up being like a tree spiritually that is always, always green, always nourished? Get into God's Word. Now, the application for us today at Heritage Baptist Church as we celebrate our 40th anniversary, I think is profound. May we always be a church that cherishes, that absolutely loves the Word of God. Let us here not feast on entertainment, emotion, the latest ideas from mankind, the newest theology coming down the block. May we feast on the Word of God. May it be true in our teaching times with our children, in our preaching times in the services. May it be true of each of us individually as we leave here on a daily basis. We're delighting in the Word of God. That's how we grow. That's how we have a prosperous life. Now, let's continue on with the picture. I wanted you to see the connection. We'll come back to those truths in just a minute as far as being in the Word of God and avoiding sinners. As we come back to the picture, he's planted by the rivers of water, so he's always, always nourished. And notice, his fruit. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. Every tree in this picture is unique and distinct. God has made each of us individuals. And God is wanting from your life, believer, to bear fruit. A fruit that's unique to you. An oak tree produces what? Acorns. There you go. All right, good, 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 good. You're thinking, all right. That was a trick question. So, the easy question, an apple tree produces? Will it ever produce pears? Nope. It's his fruit. Now, will a pear tree produce pears?
Yes.
It won't produce oranges. It's his fruit. I'll never forget on Maranatha's campus. Years ago when I was at Maranatha and I was one of the groundskeepers, there were some pear trees there. And they produced abundantly. And I remember asking my boss one day, it seems as though all that's happening to these pears is they're falling on the ground and I'm mowing them. All right, we had pear sauce all over the ground. Any chance I could eat some? He says, yeah, no one else is touching them. Yeah, like fresh pears. I don't know how they grew up in Wisconsin, but they did. And they grew well, and some of them were just great. It was like the perfect pears. Anyways, a pear tree produces pears. An orange tree, all right, his fruit. God has designed you, believer, to produce fruit through your skills and abilities that are unique to you, but for his glory. If we can make the application, God hasn't called all of you to be preachers. Well, you don't need to produce preaching fruit. But there is fruit that you need to produce. God has called all of us to be witnesses. Let us bear the fruit of reaching souls for Christ. That's a part of our fruit. How about the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. No law against those things. Let's produce those fruits. But what about your unique gifts and abilities that God has given you? Produce fruit there. We sent Darcy away. Do we like that she's gone? No, I don't. The house is a little different right now. It's going to take me a while to get used to. No one downstairs. Usually on Sunday mornings, I always had to figure out when to take the shower because when the basement shower goes on, my shower gets cold. I didn't have to worry about that this morning. And that was a reason to cry, not to rejoice. All right, she's gone. Ah, rats. All right, I can have the warmest showers I want, but Darcy's gone. But what is she doing? Why do Abby and I know you are behind her in this, but why do we rejoice? Because God is helping her with her gifts and skills that she's... It's as a dad, it's so apparently abundant, she's a teacher. Just naturally, instinctually that way. Some of you with had kids here, you've enjoyed the blessing of her teaching ministry to our children here. Well, guess what's going to happen in the Philippines? She's going to teach a bunch of kids, and they're going to grow up and learn to love God and learn the subject that they need to learn to be a faithful person in society and faithful Christian. God's going to use her. She's going to bear that fruit. How could I ever say no to God's work in her life? That's where she's producing fruit. God has a design for each of you to produce fruit. You produce His fruit. Are you producing fruit today for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life with your skills and talents and abilities, your persons and all those things? What are you doing? What fruit? Is there fruit in your life? If not, why not? According to this psalm, the connection goes back to your connection to the Word of God. Why are Christians often barren in fruit bearing? Because you're not loving the Word of God, delighting in the Word of God, and living it out in your life. It's really that straightforward. I see lives that are Christians, but they're so trapped, wrapped up in sin. No wonder they can't produce fruit. There's so much crud in their life. There's no possibility of fruit bearing. Let that not be our testimony as individuals or as a church. May we be so connected to the Word of God, living it out, growing, understanding it, all those things that we study about often, that our life will just naturally, supernaturally, bear fruit. Let's be connected to the Word of God. He goes on in the description. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm sorry, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Very interesting that it's not describing a tree that's bearing fruit all the time. It's in his season. Really, the phrase speaks of a process that takes place in the believer that loves the Word of God. As he grows and matures in the Word of God, there will be seasons of growth and then seasons of harvest. Much like a normal fruit tree. When was I picking those pears? It wasn't in the spring. But was that tree dead? Absolutely not. It had green leaves. It was preparing the work and the process of producing fruit. I'm waiting for the apple trees behind the parsonage. Now, this is the off year. The apple trees back there produce, you know, big time every other year. This is the off year. But there are still blossoms this spring. There's still some fruit back there. Looking forward to when it gets green, I'll try to beat the lawnmowers to it. Grab a couple apples off the tree. The green apple tree is, those apples are just scrumptious in my opinion. Nice tart. Anyways, the other one's good pie making apples. Looking forward to that. They will bear fruit, but it's not happening right now. Why? It's not the season for it. Believer, take some encouragement with this. God distinctly, as He takes the Word of God and applies it to our life, we will have seasons where it doesn't look like, as we analyze our life and as others maybe analyze life, that we're bearing a lot of fruit. Don't be discouraged. Is God working in your heart? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you learning? Well, this is a season of learning. If we can make it real short and real brief, today, right now, as you're sitting here in God's house, listening to the preaching of God's Word, here's a season, a moment of growth. Take it all in, because next week, this coming week, you'll need to bear some fruit. Out there, it's not season time for gleaning, it's season time for harvest. Get going on gleaning right now. Does this waste the time? It ought not to be. And in fact, this is critical time. A tree that's not nourished will not produce good fruit. You need the same thing. Let us be willing to let God choose the seasons of our life. Often we face times of discouragement or times of challenge, times of trial. And we don't want to live through that season. We want to race to the season of harvest when things are good, the leaves are green, the fruit's growing, everything just seems to be abundant and good. And yet God has designed for each of us to have seasons in life. Seasons sometimes of our own doing. We struggle with sin and we reap some of those rewards, and then it's a season of instruction. The Lord teaches us. Seasons sometimes not of our own doing, of others' doing. People that ruin, in many ways, our life by what they do to us. Huh? That's a season of growth and trust, isn't it? Trusting the Lord. Letting Him lead our steps. Seasons of sickness. When physically we're worn out. And yet that season is on purpose from the Lord too. He's using that season to ready us for fruit. Believer, if you've walked with the Lord in any way for any amount of time, you can look back over your life and see seasons. As I thought through this in relationship to our church family, we've gone through some seasons. Some of you have shared with me some of the challenging seasons. I'm glad God sustained you through them. Was that a time when you saw a lot of fruit? Maybe not. But the leaf was still green. One of the things that I rejoice about you as a church family is I've seen, and through both your testimony and watching and observing over these last almost 7 years now, lives that are filled with wanting to do God's Word. Learning it, growing it, knowing it. And that has sustained you through the multiple seasons that this church family has walked through. The opening season of Heritage Baptist Church was a little rocky, if I can put it that way. If we're honest with our history, why did we start? Because there were some troubles in another church. Troubles that several of you that are still here today decided, you know what, I'm not going to create a ruckus, I'm not going to be a divider of a church, but I can't no longer be there, so I'll just quietly leave. And then you found out, oh, there's a few others that left too. Maybe we should get together. Lucy, thank you for opening your home. Those first Bible studies. That's a cherished memory. I'd have loved to have been there. Yes, that's right. And then the joy of, you see the picture books back there, some of the construction of the building over there, that old building. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. The days of growth when the excitement of putting up a new building. But then the challenge, hey, we're starting to outgrow it. Some of you have shared stories of deep heartache in your life, where you've shared some dark days. Even in those seasons, God was working. And I'm grateful that God has allowed us to produce some fruit. Maybe if I stay with the analogy, I think it's okay to do this. As we're sending out Pastor Allen and his family, fruit. That's what that is. That's fruit. Now, he's going to start another tree. The local church family down at Crystal Lake. And they'll go through the same processes. Let us help them. And between now and then, we'll probably hit some seasons. It's like right now, one of the seasons is I wish all the support was in already. Are you with me on that one? It's like, ah. And I keep praying, Lord, you know what's going on. You know the timing. Dave Barba had hoped to help us this fall, but we're not ready for that yet. It looks like Pastor Allen's not quite ready for that as far as support. And we don't want to send him there without full support, so because we want to be able to jump in with both feet, not be distracted by work and so forth. So we wait patiently. It's a season of waiting. All of those are designed by God. But in our season, when it's right, when it's time, we're going to bear some fruit. I trust that over this coming year we'll see some fruit. Praise God for those seasons. Let us not rebel against the seasons that come that are not pleasant. But let us with hope and let us with endurance look forward to the seasons of fruit. So, he beareth his fruit in this season. His leaf also shall not wither. And then notice this promise. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here the psalmist seems to run away a little bit from the design of the picture of the tree. Yes, it's still connected, but he is now beginning to make application of the picture to the singer's heart and life, as the singer would sing this. The singer, having spent time with God, cherishing the Word, delighting in the Word of God, turning from sins and sinners. Yes, his life has been sustained. And then he begins to understand that God, in every area of his life, whatsoever. It's the Hebrew word for all. How much is all? All is all. Every area of his life is prospering. Not according to the rules of mankind, not according to this life, but according to God's life. God's design. God designed each tree. God's designed each individual. God has designed our church. And as we stay faithful to the Word of God, we see this wonderful joy that all prospers. It will come to its designed and intended end. That's the word prosper. Let me remind you of that again, all right? What is prosper? That it'll come to its designed and intended end. Heritage Baptist Church, what's our end? Well, ultimately, one day we're going to be raptured. And we'll become a part of the great body of Christ that has not gathered yet. We're the local picture of that huge body of redeemed believers who have trusted Christ as their Savior, who are supposed to be growing up into Christ and into our head, Jesus Christ. And we picture that in little form here. One day at the rapture, we'll all be together. And we'll enjoy a personal walk with Jesus Christ face to face for eternity. Won't that be glory? Can you imagine? You know, right now, if Darcy wants to talk to Mom or Dad, we have to get on the phones. You know, we FaceTime or we text. That's amazing that we can do that even. Darcy and I were texting last night. I told my wife, this is amazing. She's halfway around the world and we're in live. I mean, it's just real time. It's just going back and forth. All right, texting. Great. But it's still not the same. You know that. When we were over in the Philippines, we FaceTimed with Dory and Drew. What was Dory doing? She was kissing and hugging the phone. Mommy, kiss you, kiss you. You know what? It was really cute, but it wasn't a real kiss. I couldn't wait to get home and get a real smooch from that little gal. All right, she's kissy face right now, big time. I mean, it's like a gazillion kisses before she goes to bed at night, and half of it's on her pacifier. Anyways, okay, oh fun, all right. But that's real life, isn't it? All right. Can you imagine? Right now, it's like a little bit like FaceTime. It's a lot better, but we spend time in prayer with our dear Savior. But to the desired end, when one day I stand before my Lord, the head, Jesus Christ, and spend an eternity with Him, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All of these seasons, all of these times, and God will prosper. It will bring to the... So right now, what is He doing? He's helping us as a church family, helping us as individuals to take on the person of Christ, to take on His character, to be His spokesman in the world, to use us as tools to spread the gospel. Let us be faithful. There's reward coming. It'll come to its desired end. Oh, believer, let your life prosper in Jesus Christ. So, as we understand this beautiful picture, and then let me make a couple of quick points and, Lord willing, be done soon. Let us remember, what is the end? And I've already given you some clues, but verse 5 and 6 make it abundantly clear. So, I guess I should share verse 4. Let me real quick share verse 4, because this is the contrast. We have this tree that's full of life, leaves, in its season bears fruit. That's the believer who loves the Lord, is in His Word, is shunning sin and sinners. All right? What comes to pass, though, for the other people that aren't in the Word of God, that aren't shunning sin and sinners? Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. They are, as one commentator put it, they are rootless, weightless, useless. It's the ultimate picture of vanity. Solomon had it right when he started the book of Ecclesiastes and he looks at this world. He had everything that this world could offer. And what did he say? Vanity of vanities. All is empty. It's wasted. It's nothing. It's useless. Without God, this life is worthless. Don't forget that picture. Believer, don't be tempted by sin. It's useless. It's empty. There's pleasure in it for a moment and then it's done. And so we hasten on to verse 5 and 6 where we see the end. What's the end? Therefore, verse 5, the ungodly who chase after the wind, who ignore God, who love sin, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Ugh. You see, the ungodly's life will end in not being able to stand before their judge. They will perish. They will collapse. I don't want that to be my end. But unfortunately, the end is often something we don't see right now. We are so present-minded, we don't look to the future. The warning for believers here today is strong. We can follow the end of the ungodly if we waste our life. No, we don't lose our salvation, thankfully for that. But the picture end is strong. You won't stand before your judge. One day, each of us, believer or unbeliever, will give an account to God. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, this will be the reality of your judgment. You will not stand. All those who have rejected God, His Word, His truth, rejected therefore the Savior Jesus Christ and what He's done for you on the cross of Calvary, you will not stand in the day of judgment. You, and in fact, the picture and the analogy goes further in Scripture, you will be cast into hell. God offers salvation to each of us. Come to trust Him. Jesus loves the world. Therefore, He died for the world. He offers you freely His payment for your sin. The eternal God in Jesus Christ died on the cross. Isn't that something? The Prince of Life gave His life so that we could have life. Trust Him today. so that you will be able to stand in the judgment. Now, secondly, those of us that are believers don't follow the path of sin. We'll see that in just a moment, even stronger. But the end, don't forget the end. You say, well, my salvation is secure in Christ. Absolutely, praise God. But you're going to stand before God nonetheless and give an account of how you've lived this life. Will your life end as a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf does not wither? Whatsoever he does, the end of his life is prospering. Or will your life before God be like the chaff of the ungodly? Useless, rootless, weightless, no value. May the judgment seat of Christ for the believer motivate you today. Don't forget your end, believer. Heritage Baptist Church, may we as a church family not forget our end. It's not about just today. We've rejoiced in our fellowship. I've enjoyed watching you as you came in this morning. The love of brethren is beautiful here. May it continue. May it prosper and grow. May it be double more. All right? But that's not the end. This is just a little touch of heaven, a little part of our life. One day, we will each stand before the Lord and give an account. And I want the end of Heritage Baptist Church, when He comes, to say that church stayed as a wonderful lighthouse all the way until the rapture. May that be our passion and desire. This church is not about us individually. It's about Jesus Christ, our head. And we want our head to be glorified and honored. Thank you again, Tim, wherever you're sitting. He's somewhere around here. Oh, he's maybe in the back. Thank you again, Tim, for sharing that. We are to glorify the Lord. There he is. He's up front. We would find him. Quit changing seats on me. You're supposed to be right over there. We're supposed to be glorifying the Lord here, aren't we? Bringing glory to His name in everything we do, because that's the end. That's the end. Let Heritage Baptist Church never be seen in God's eyes as chaff. So the end of the ungodly, you'll not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly will not enjoy the joys of the future congregation together of all the righteous. They won't be a part of that. May we not have that as our end. Verse 6, what's the end for the righteous? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. These terms are potent and powerful. God identifies, He knows. He identifies with and owns the way of righteousness. The way that we're supposed to be walking in. It's His way. And He, on purpose, desires to be known as our God. He knows the way of the righteous. Almighty, powerful, all righteous, perfect God cherishes a relationship with every one of His children. And He wants us to bear His name well to this world, and He cherishes being connected to you. I don't get it. That's love, folks. That's love that's amazing. Abundant, greater than we can figure out, that He would cherish to love us and own us as sinners. But we come to Him by faith and repentance, guess what happens? That's exactly what happens. He owns us. And He owns the way of life for us. God cares about and watches over the way of righteousness. The promise here is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. Now, this steps immediately to our other connection as a church family. Remember at the end of the Great Commission, Matthew 18, 19 to 20? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, as a church family, as we faithfully do God's service, He is owning us. He is being with us in a unique way. In a way that we fully don't grasp or understand, God is here with us today. That's amazing! That He was willing to overlook our faults, willing to forgive us, and willing to cherish us and help us do right. By His Spirit, He motivates, encourages us through the Word to live for Him. And we are uniquely tied together because God is here today. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Anyone who's come to know Christ as their Savior is on the way of life, the way that God owns, the way of righteousness. Stay faithful to that. Walk faithfully to Him and enjoy the end of that. So then, let us then choose to what we do in this life to be conformed to this picture. And let me wrap it up real quickly, verses 1 and 2. If I am going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season, if I will enjoy the end of the righteous way, then what must I do now? What will I do now in order to enjoy that? Well, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not heed the advice of the ungodly. Don't listen to the ungodly's advice in any way, shape, or form. Whether it comes through YouTube, Facebook, TV, any form, don't listen to it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He is not party to the manner of life of sinners. Do not let the life of sinners be a part of who you are. Don't go with them. Be careful what you listen to, what you put in front of your face, what you enjoy. Don't ever become part and parcel with sinners. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We are not to company with those who mock God and His laws. They shouldn't be our bestest of friends. Maybe a simple application. Be careful who you friend on Facebook. Don't company with mockers of God. I was with someone yesterday and realized this person's a mocker. Had to chide him for it. Wait a second. God is great. You are a fool to mock God. Then why would I as a Christian want to hang around with a person like that? They shouldn't be my best friends. They need to be discipled at best, evangelized more than likely. Oh, do not let this world wrap its ugly tentacles around your life, believer. Spend your life being a nonconformist to the world. That's verse 1. Don't conform to this world. Don't take on its shape, its form, its passions. Leave them alone. Run from them. Flee youthful lust, Paul told Timothy. Follow righteousness, faith. So he goes on. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, oh, what should I do? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. To the world, I'm to be a nonconformist. Don't imbibe its philosophy and thinking, its entertainment, its joys. It's sinful, it's vanity, it's the end of it is emptiness. What should I be conformed to? The Word. Be conformed to the Word. Not conformed to the world. Verse 2, be conformed to the Word. Delight, let it be your great pleasure, your greatest passion, your highest value is the Word of God. And meditate in it day and night. From the moment you get up until you close your eyes and sleep at night, the Word of God should be prominent in your heart and life. Always. Always. When you tell a joke, oh, it might be fun, but are you contemplating it in light of the Word of God? When you sit down to eat your meal, are you thanking God for this blessing? Because God has said in His Word, He's the provider of all good things. When you go to work, are you planning to work that day to please and honor God? Or simply to get your paycheck? Or to avoid Joe Blow, who's a pain in your neck. No, wait a second. Everything is affected by the truths of God's Word. Delight in it. Meditate in it. Day and night. Take time. Stop throughout the day. So I encourage you, in the morning, you get up, spend some time in God's Word immediately. A little time in prayer and God's Word. Maybe you can spend a longer time there. But if you're like some of us, mornings are like, you know, I'm just glad to get out of bed. Maybe your wake-up time is after supper at night. All right? Well then, that's the time to get into God's Word. Dig deeply then, when your brain's awake. And then let me encourage you. So you start the day with God's Word. When you take a break, remind yourself, what did I read this morning? What is it that God taught me? A problem comes up at work. Is your first knee-jerk reaction is to complain, to grumble, to gripe, to commiserate? That sounds like the way of the world. Has it ever thought, wait a second, I'm going to delight in God's Word. God, okay, what are the truths that come to bear on this problem that can help me make a wise choice? That's delighting in God's Word. That's meditating again at day and night. It's just not far away. To this afternoon, when we share testimonies, it's like, okay, that's an easy time. No, wait a second. Often when we share testimonies, it ultimately comes down to we start sharing about us. We need to be careful about that. No. Let us rejoice in truth and how it's affected us. I should come away from testimony time this afternoon praising God for His Word. How it's grown people, how it's affected, how it's blessed, how God has used. So I rejoice in God, not in me. Oh, believer, you want to have a life that's prosperous? Okay. Delight in God's Word. Don't be conformed to the world. You say, Pastor, that sounds pretty simple. Well, you know, that's challenging work. But it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's not like we don't have the answers. We have the answers. Let us be willing to obey God. May we as a church not conform to the world. May we as a church conform to the Word of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the pleasure of your Word and what it's taught us this morning. Help us, Father, individually and as a church family, to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, our leaves not withering, and everything we're doing prospering because we don't conform to the world, its advice, its company, its people. But we conform to the Word of God. God's Word. God's truth. God's rules and God's loving care for us. May we meditate in it day and night. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, the invitation's a little different this morning, but I think it's an invitation of commitment. As we celebrate this 40th anniversary of our church family, how many of you as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in particular as members of church, though the invitation is open to all believers, would say, Pastor, I'll join you today, and by God's grace and with His help, I'll commit myself to this year faithfully meditating in the Word of God, striving to be better at my meditating on the Word of God so that my life will prosper in God's eyes. With an upraised hand, you say, Pastor, I'll join you in that commitment. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Yes, praise God. So that means this afternoon, think about God's Word. Maybe get back into it. I've got some more scripture reading to do in my life today. I want to do some more today. Tomorrow, live it out. Read it, study it, memorize it, live it out. And the next day and the next day. May God help us be faithful. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I know that I've shared pretty starkly the realities of heaven and hell. Because God's Word does. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They will not stand in the judgment. They will not join the righteous in the congregation in heaven. Would you like to join us? Would you like to be able to stand before God not because of your own righteousness, but because of His righteousness that has been given to you? Well then, why don't you trust Him today? Turn from your sin, turn to Jesus Christ only as your Savior. Maybe that's your need today, and you'd say, Pastor, please pray for me. Right now, I want to come to Christ as my Savior. Anyone at all that would quietly slip their hand in the air and there say, that's my need today spiritually. We'll not try to embarrass you in any moment here. But right now, I just want to be an encouragement. The moment we can be a help and blessing to you if you'd like. Anyone at all. Pastor, I need to be saved today. Lord, use your word in ways that are beyond our understanding. May it have good effect. May it pierce and divide, even to joint and marrow. And Lord, may it have good fruit in our lives. Father, we ask that in these coming months, we might see fruit in our season because we're in your word. May we become a people that is not just committed, but is faithfully living out, being in your word daily, meditating in it day and night. If there's one here today without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Opportunity for you as believers and anyone to be able to respond to the truth of God's word today. If you need to spend some time in prayer with your dear Lord and Savior, especially as we talk about the word of God and being committed to it daily, why don't you come? Let the Lord know that, Lord, I want to be faithful. He would cherish to hear that from your lips. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, come catch my hand. I'll step to the front. We would be absolutely delighted to help have God's word shared with you. And you could leave here today knowing for certain sure you're on your way to heaven. So as our pianist quietly plays through the hymn and we hum along, if God's working your heart, why don't you respond?